Come get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, let's get it going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world. Welcome on into the Sports Buffoon Studios here out of Lenexa, Kansas, of course. Back again, once again. We got the full clan with us. JG to my left, Tanner Dawson to my right. I'm Mike Settle here. If I sound a little off, it's because I just came off of a cold, so I apologize if my voice sounds a little nasally, you know, as it does every once in a while. So a little bit of that sinus infection. It's probably, that's like going around. There's a guy on the radio right now that's had like a three-week-long sinus issue and all that, so I guess it's a thing. So anyways, guys, the good news is it is wild card weekend, goddammit. So
yeah,
we're gonna have lots of great matchups, of course. We do get to take a look at the referee reports, because, you know, it's that time of year where we need to pay attention to who's officiating these games and who's gonna get screwed in the end. Those are always key topics to look into. But first and foremost, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Feel great, man. I just got over the Chinese white lung disease a couple of days ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you were talking about your sinus infection and whatnot. I never got that, but fun fact for you all out there, you listeners, the Chinese white lung disease lasts about a month. And then it just goes away, provided that you got vaccinated, which I did. So I was able to get rid of it after a month. It yeah. wants your lungs. It wants to take over your lungs. But I got my fucking flu shots, and I said no, you're not going to take over my lungs.
So would you recommend, maybe a few weeks from now, getting a booster to avoid it coming back again?
Well, I don't think they have boosters for that shit, but certainly if you're an elderly person, get your fucking flu shots.
All right, the white lung.
My gosh.
The Chinese white lung. All right.
Protect yourself from the white lung, because it's not a... I didn't have a lot of fun over the past month.
Tanner, what do you have?
What? Sorry.
What do you have?
What do I have?
Yeah. I had a cold. He had the white lung.
Just the normal cough that I always have.
Oh, okay. So is there a term for that?
No idea. Couldn't
is
tell
there
you.
A vaccine for that?
It's a cough. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, we got something we could pump into your body.
I do have a name for it.
I think
it's actually the official name is the chronic bullshitter who makes super horrible fucking college football picks.
Wow.
And loses people all of their fucking money. That's the official name of it.
That is
if they're watching this show, that's true.
That is pretty harsh, but that is true as well. I mean, I don't know what our end of regular season betting record looks like at the moment, but we'll find out later in the show, of course, during the easy money bet of the week. I know I'm sitting pretty at the moment, I guess, after this past weekend with it, and so is JG.
We won.
We'll see how that's happened. All right, Tanner.
I get tired of winning on this fucking show. That's all I know, man.
All right, Tanner.
Braden, what's up? Hunter, what's up? Hope you guys' fantasy season went well. I ended up doing pretty well myself, so.
That's right. You got money back, which has already been put in for next year, right?
In our league, the Buffoon League, got my $40 in second place. Ended up winning a few of my leagues as well. Ended up totaling
600, right?
600.
Yeah, dude, that's
total shock at me, because I totally forgot about some of these leagues. I just did my best.
Recommended what to do with that money. That 600.
Yeah,
you gave him recommendations.
You know what I'm doing with it?
I know. I probably don't want to know.
Nothing.
You're just gonna let it sit.
It's just gonna sit.
You gonna take it on a road trip?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's just going to sit.
I'm going to throw some out of you
guys.
Because
I'm going to use it towards the fantasy season next year.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know how many of you... I'm going to throw some out of you guys. I don't know how many of you fuckers follow cryptocurrency.
Steelers Super Bowl on the way.
You should probably put your $600 into Bitcoin right now, because we are coming out of the crypto winter. It's getting ready to pump. You could probably make a shitload of money off of $600. If you put it into Bitcoin right now. But if you do it like a year and a half from now, it's too late.
He should have done it probably 6 months ago, back when Bitcoin was like 20,000. So that would have been a better deal. But regardless, what are you guys sipping on?
What should I do with my $600, everybody? Put it in the chat.
Crypto. Yeah.
Lots of options out there.
Or better yet, if you don't believe in crypto, you can just, rather than using toilet paper, just jam it right into your asshole. Yeah, that might be better use of it. If you don't have the balls, well, to put it into crypto, just jam it right into your asshole.
It's a better option than reinvesting into fantasy next year. I will agree with that part. So,
to answer your question, I'm going with the Cutwater White Russian. It's not really it's not one of my favorites, but it's one of those things that gets the job done, makes me feel better about myself.
Tanner's actually watching TV, you guys. If you see him making
rock
random,
chalk, baby.
Random
We're
hand
down
motions.
By three.
Down by three with 16 left. They're going to lose the game, but he's still excited anyway for whatever reason.
Look, you got to have hope in this KU team. It's not over until the clock strikes zero.
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
this isn't Texas Tech.
We're going to move right along. This is KU. We're going to move right Kansas along here to more important topics of the day, you guys. Good Lord. Is that RSV coming back, the one you needed a vaccine for?
Oh, yeah. They just hit a three, dude.
Yeah,
they're only down by
That's what
three.
I'm saying. Three.
I told you guys we should have started
Dickinson.
The show later anyway.
No, we're not starting later.
You guys need to see your end of your crap anyway, so.
It's right here.
All right. Let me talk for a few minutes here then. We saw the Chiefs wrap up their season, week 18, playing the majority of the backups, which was nice to see. Unfortunately, we did see a couple injuries come out of it, too. But the good news is, looks like Donovan Smith will be back for the playoff game here against the Dolphins. So he's looking good and been practicing the last 2 days, which is huge because Wanye Morris has a concussion and was not going to be available for
Wanye
this game.
And Justin Ross, right?
Yeah, Ross. Which Ross at this point is not really a relevant member of the roster.
Correct.
Outside of whatever he produced last week, which was not much. We got to see a lot of Mecole Hardman in this last game. Which, I mean, maybe not. We see him more active here in this wild card game. I know the Chiefs did not play MVS in this week 18 game for whatever reason. I thought he should have been running go routes the entire time just to get a win sprints in. But I think we're going to see a lot more of the more reliable open receivers in this game be a part of the game plan more. Because even though Kadarius Toney's hands have been frustrating, at least he can get open. He can at least create some separation, which is more to say than a couple other receivers on this roster. So, but guys, it's going to be frigid out there. It's going to be a game that's probably going to be one in the trenches, one on the ground. The Dolphins present an amazing rushing game. I think we should all be a little concerned about Devon Achane in this game. He's went through a big part of the season, averaging 8 yards a carry, which is insane. Terrific speed, one of the fastest players in the entire league. And then, meanwhile, Pacheco, of course, just an absolute mauler of a running back. So, but
I believe Mostert's supposed to be back.
I think Mostert should be back in
he
this game
back.
As well.
So, yeah, Jeff Wilson, Mostert, and Achane.
Yeah, they have options. The Chiefs don't have a ton of options by any means at the running back position. We got really one and a half guys you can rely on. But I think it's going to be one in that way because it's going to be like 6 degrees at kickoff out here. We're getting a little more snow on Friday. And then after that point, it's just going to get colder and colder up to like Sunday is going to be like a high of -1 out here. So that's going to be rough. But with this game, I can't expect it being the shootout we all expected, you know, earlier in the season. That we saw the game played in Germany and they hit the under on that game too. I mean, it was below what they expected. I see more of the same in this game. I'll talk about it a little bit later in the show, but right now the over-under is sitting at 44. At the moment, so I could see it being under that. That would make a lot of sense to me because I don't see this being a game where we go out there and just light it up and we're throwing, you know, Tua and Mahomes with 300 yards each, and all that kind of good stuff. So, Chachi, what are your thoughts on this situation?
Yeah, you know, we're gonna give our thoughts a little bit later on our predictions for the Miami Chiefs game. But I want to think a little bit more broadly here in terms of what to expect from the Chiefs and that wide receiver core going into the playoffs. And the way that I think about this is like it's two completely different seasons here, okay? So we saw how shitty the wide receivers were in the regular season, and we all get that. But now is the time to kind of start a brand new season. Okay, because this is a single elimination tournament. We don't care how shitty you fucking receivers were in the past. You've got a new lease on life right now. And so you get a chance right now to bury the past, start a brand new season. And I feel like you're playing kind of a banged up Miami Dolphins team to get started here. This could be a get right game for guys like MBS, Kadarius Toney, who we've all talked so much shit on, and rightly so, throughout the course of the season. This is a chance for that wide receiver room to make things good, because I mean it can't get any worse when you look back on the regular season. I mean it really can't get any worse. But when you look at the fact that now we're in a brand new tournament, single elimination, we've all seen MVS do good things in the playoffs in the past. And you might see me as kind of a glass half full type of guy, which I am. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm always sort of an optimist on this type of shit. But, you know, I feel good. I feel good about where we're at going into the playoffs because I don't trust the number one and the number two seeds. I'm not confident in Buffalo winning their first game. I'm not confident in the Ravens winning their first game. And so the Chiefs have a great opportunity here to host, you guys are going to laugh at me, host the AFC Championship yet again.
It's possible.
And well, we gotta get everybody's sitting there saying it's a one game at a time thing right now,
you know.
Everybody says it's not going to happen.
We just got to get through this week.
Not going to happen. Not going to host. Which I don't really care if we host. I just want to win. But I view this thing as two completely different seasons. And that's what it is. I mean, the regular season's over. This is a brand new season. So I want to see what these guys could do. And will they start to catch the ball? Will the wide receiver start to catch the ball? Will Kelce sort of play a little bit better than we've seen him be in the regular season? You just don't know. Will Mahomes be a little bit better? Because this was kind of a down year for Mahomes. So, I mean, you got a bunch of bad games out of your system in the regular season. So I'm very hopeful to see what these guys can do. But the Miami game in particular, I mean, it kind of seems like a walkthrough for me. And I know a lot of people are going to get pissed off at me for saying that, because they're like, oh, fuck, you're just jinxing the fuck out of them. Well, they're banged up, dude.
They are banged
up. And to me, when I look at this game, I'm just like, okay, I guess if you're an NFL officiating crew, you can fix any game. It doesn't matter who the two fucking teams are. You can fix the game. This seems like a very, very difficult game to fix from my perspective.
So,
yeah, I don't know.
He talks about banged up, right? Injuries for the Dolphins. Xavier Howard out. Chubb, Andrew, and Bradley Chubb and Andrew Van Ginkle out. Pass rushers, right? For them, the last few weeks have been very heavy.
They signed Justin Houston, Tanner. I think it's all fixed.
Justin Houston hates us. Inside linebacker, Jerome Baker out. Javon Holland possibly out. He did not practice as well. And there was also, and I got to pull it back up here. There was also a few other people the Dolphins have on the injury report outside of our two.
All the
Sean Elliott. Sean Elliott.
Their top two wide receivers and their top two running backs are both on the, all four of those guys are on the injury report.
They were limited practice, both of them. Tyreek and Waddle. Chain, Mostert were limited practice as well.
And none of them are 100%.
In the last 2 days. So, no, none of them are 100%, but your big part that you're going to be missing is the defensive side for the Dolphins. And I think that's very big. This is a very big opportunity for the Chiefs offense to capitalize on these injuries that are happening on the Dolphins.
I'm mostly concerned about those skill players on the Dolphins.
I am not worried about them.
7-degree weather, and you're not 100%, and you're affecting.
Well, health-wise, yeah. I mean, you don't want
You're a warm weather team, and you're banged up. You're not 100%, and you're going into fucking 5-degree weather. I'm very concerned about the Dolphins in this game.
One thing I will point out, because you brought up Kelce and Mahomes and so on, who's going to step up in the playoffs. I mean, those are two of the greatest playoff performers in the history of the NFL right there. If you look at Mahomes' quarterback rating so far in his career against all their quarterbacks in playoff history, he is ranked number one in the league history in the playoffs. Travis Kelce as well, from tight end position, the best playoff tight end of all time. He's a guy that I know he got under 1,000 yards this year, you guys. He was definitely off this year. It wasn't his best year. He did miss week one. Had he played week one, he would have hit 1,000 yards again. But that didn't happen. It is what it is. He's the guy that's going to be the focal point in the passing game, in my opinion. And they're going to find ways to get him open, like the old days. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, Tanner. We were just at a game in October where he had 170 yards receiving against the Chargers and 12 catches. I mean, he was looking like 26-year-old Travis Kelce again kind of thing, you know? And I think there's still that in him. And, yes, he has looked very worn down and tired throughout this year, and, like, he's just kind of sick of being there every once in a while. I mean, this is his time that he always steps up, is in the playoffs. He's the guy that will go out there and catch 3 touchdowns all of a sudden. And you shouldn't bat an eye at it. I mean, it is what it is. I remember last year we went to Hollywood Casino and ran into a friend up there. And I remember she had told us she had bet on Kelce to get a touchdown, but she was nervous about it. And I was like, oh, don't be nervous about it. It's the playoffs. It's Kelce in the playoffs. Like, this is like a guarantee. And you went out there and had 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's what we should all expect from Travis. I don't care that he's 34. I don't care. I mean, this is the time where he comes on and shines, and he's going to at least do his part.
Locking mode.
I can't promise you we're going to get the best out of other receivers on the roster. I can't promise you anything from Tony or anything from MBS or anybody else for that matter, maybe outside of Rice. But I can promise you Travis Kelce will show up in this game and make an impact more than he did during the majority of the season we just saw. So I expect that to go down that way. But I also at the same time know this is Arrowhead, and the Chiefs defense plays normally pretty great at Arrowhead. And I think this is going to be one defensively for the most part in this game, especially just in a cold weather situation.
You know how to win against Tua. Go put pressure on him. Literally, go put pressure on him. And he's going to throw a Tua pick exactly like he did last week.
Yeah, Tua's record in games below 40 degrees is like 0-4.
He's 0-4.
That's 40. That's 40 degrees,
and
guys.
He's won one game this year against a winning team. And that was against an NFC inferior team of the Dallas Cowboys. So that doesn't even count. That game don't even count.
Yeah, I could see him having a hard time in the cold weather handling the ball. And just, you know, obviously being a warm climate guy throughout the majority of his life, as well as being a Dolphin at this point.
His line's banged up, too.
This is how it's always been.
You're at Teron Armstead limited practice, Liam Eichenberg limited practice. Like, your line's still beat up. You're still missing, I think, 2 linemen. Like, this is Chris Jones' prime territory this weekend. Of him, absolutely. If he's going to make a splash, this is the week. This is the game for it. If we're going to see him in play, this is the game.
So what's the most concerning part you guys have? I know you seem very confident, Jason, about the idea that the Chiefs can go out there and just take care of business easily. And, you might have a bet on that later. I don't know. But what's the thing that scares you the most that maybe if you're being too optimistic that you could see actually biting the Chiefs in the ass?
Really, the only thing I see is, as being a potential problem, is an ultra-conservative Andy Reid. That's the only possible thing for me.
Define ultra-conservative.
That can bite us in the ass. Well, I'll give you an example. So let's say we're up by 10 points.
Okay.
With, 9 minutes left in the game, and Andy all of a sudden just decides that we're going to run the ball and punt the rest of the game.
Well, we've done that in the third quarter. 9 minutes in the third quarter, we're up by 10, and we've done that.
So whatever you think that number is, let's just say the fourth quarter just started, and we're only up by 10 fucking points.
Gotcha.
That's the only thing to me that can bite us in the ass.
You're not talking about Andy Reid getting cute. You're just saying that Andy Reid just stopping, throwing the ball, he's just going to run.
Yeah, because that I know that the easy answer is, oh, the fucking receivers are going to drop the ball. I'm not convinced that that's going to happen in this game. For me, it's just like you got a cold weather game. Everybody in the world thinks that Miami is going to play horribly because it's cold weather, and it's just like we just try to milk
players.
We try to milk the clock at the end, and that's probably going to happen. But that's the only thing that can bite us in the ass is just Andy being way too conservative at the end.
What do you think, Tanner?
I like that. I mean, the word continues here, spreading through the regular season. Miami Dolphins get a couple big plays. Can this offense come back and take care of business? Can they get ahead? Can they make the necessary plays they need to do? Again, you never know. A Tyreek Hill big bomb play, missed coverage, something in that matter. All it takes is one big play and you're down 7. It takes another big play, a Raheem Mostert or a chain run.
that just gets a couple missed tackles because it is cold. It's going to be a little slippery too. You know, next thing you know, you're down 14-0. Do you trust the Chiefs' offense to have to actually come back and march back and get you those three scores? Because you know the defense will hold after those two scores. We've seen it all year. 17 points and that's it, right? But does the offense go back to regular season mode, or are they playoff offense? That's what I'm a little worried about. I'm not necessarily worried about what Kelsey's doing or everybody else, because Kelsey's going to be the big part of it. Tony has to be a big part of it, and Rice has to be part of it. I mean, it is what it is. I'm worried about that offense, and if we get behind, can we do what we did against Houston?
I would say, again, this is the game that you want to use to get the kinks out, because I don't necessarily see this as being a competitive game. This is the game that you want to use to gain confidence, meaning all of you wide receivers that we don't think you can fucking catch the
tight
ball.
Tight ends, too.
It's time to get your fucking confidence back in this game.
Don't forget the tight ends. Kelce sure. Fair share.
Well, I mean, like, honestly, like, if I were in his shoes, if I were in Kelce's shoes, I would literally, and I'm not bullshitting here, I would tell Taylor Swift, please do not have sex with me for the next fucking four weeks until we're done with the playoffs. Don't fucking have sex with me because I need my fucking legs for these games. I'm not bullshitting. Like, dude, you guys know me. Like, I've been an athlete in the past. Like, I was never.
We need his legs, but we need him to catch the
ball. I was never like
too,
an elite. I was never an elite athlete, but I was to the point where I knew, like, you have to have your legs and you shouldn't be having fucking sex every fucking day.
He needs
day.
To have a no jizz January, basically.
Yes. That's exactly what I do.
That's what Kelce needs. And for, like, the entire month of January.
Honestly, if he knows his body well enough, which as a pro, you do know your body well enough, he's already gone down that road. Those conversations have already happened. He doesn't need to listen to fucking JG from the Sports with Foods fucking tell that shit. He knows his body well enough. Hopefully Andy didn't have to tell him that shit while he's eating his fucking nuggies on that State Farm commercial. But I'm guessing that conversation has already happened, and they're going to maybe just have sex during the bye week before the Super Bowl, and that's it.
Yeah, just get one in, and then that'd be it. And then take a break for another week after that probably would be a good idea. I think my only thing I could see being an issue in this game, I would be, you know, if the Chiefs have everything going well in their favor, I could see a slip-up coming in the penalty department because that has been an issue throughout most of this year, and especially in a situation, you know, against Tyreek Hill. Legarius needs to be matched up with him. You know it's going to happen at some point. There's going to be a 50-yard pass down the field. Legarius needs to be penalized 11 times this year. He is a physical corner. We all know that. He's as great as he's played throughout the year and as great as he's been as a Chief throughout his whole career so far, there is a chance.
He grabs sometimes.
There is a chance. And I did look into this referee crew before the show and everything. We have Brad Rogers coming up this weekend, who I've personally never had a problem with, to my knowledge, or that I can remember as far as, you know, getting pissed off. But I will say he does average one more penalty than the league average per game. And so that kind of tells me he does like to have his imprint on the game. But at the same time, I did look into how he's officiated this so far this year. The home team wins 81% of the time in games he's officiated. Hmm. So that is an interesting thing to keep in mind about this.
So your worries, you're telling me, is the corners and the tackles.
Of course. The tackles is, of course, Juwan Taylor. You know, what's going to happen with him? You know, and then, of course, the corner situation.
Donovan Smith, he holds.
Well, sure, Donovan Smith.
He's a holder.
Yeah, so those are the things that I'm concerned about biting the Chiefs in the ass is literally themselves. Because I think
which
they go out there
and, a very fair case.
And have the right game plan, I think our defense is too good this year to go out there and just shit the bed. It's not going to happen. There's no reason for it. Steve Spagnuolo, he's playoff king. We know how good Steve Spags is in the playoffs.
Yep.
And as good as this defense has been all year, there's no reason for him to slip up now. So, guys, should we make picks, or do you have injury or anything else you want to talk about?
I was just going to say, I was giving your hopes up. Never mind. I was going to say MVS has oblique injury, but he was full practice. So, by the way, the only person who did not practice this week was Wanya Morris. Justin Ross did practice today.
Yeah, which also means Donovan Smith has to stay healthy the entire game.
Correct.
Otherwise, we're playing musical chairs with the offensive line, and which is not fun to see unfold.
I mean, we saw that in Week 18, and
no, I mean, yeah, we saw Creed play right guard. I saw Joe Tooney play in left tackle. Like, over the last game.
I'm like, I'm good.
It's just annoying because you want to rest all your
Niang came in too.
Well, sure. I mean, you want Niang in there because he's a backup. But I mean,
no, I'm just saying, like, you had Niang on the right side.
Yeah.
Taylor was on the left, and Taylor got hurt. You had to move.
Switching things up. I don't want to deal with all that crap.
Man, that felt like
it was defeating the entire purpose of why you sit guys.
It's PTSD of 2020.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Kind of.
Just the musical chairs.
I know. It was stupid to watch unfold, but you know, I think for the most part, our main offensive line is going to be ready to
go. I think we're fine, yeah.
So, do you guys have picks?
Go for it.
All right. So I will say that this is going to be a very comfortable game for the Chiefs. I do not like Miami at all in the cold weather. So I'm going to go 24-10 Chiefs cover easily.
24-10. All right. 14-point win. I would definitely be happy with that. What you got, Tanner?
It's 4.5 favorite now. Okay. 44.5 over under. 44 over under. I think we stay under. I like that a lot here. I think we hit 17 again, or they hit 17 again. So I think 3 weeks in a row we get 17 points allowed against us, but that's it. And I'm going to go Chiefs win 17-24.
Okay. Fair enough. So 6-point win, mm-hmm. Something like that would be good. I also kind of like a low-scoring game out of this one, so I'm leaning along the lines of Dolphins to hit 17 as well, Chiefs to get 21, and just that on the money. I don't see a lot of field goals in this game, so I'm looking at one field goal from the Dolphins and the Chiefs to not have to kick any field goals I don't know. It's going to be 6 degrees, you guys. I don't know if I'd want to be kicking a ball at 6 degrees. I'd feel like kicking a rock. So we'll see how that thing plays out.
I just throw one other thing out here real quick. Jalen Waddle is going to be playing, if at all, on a bum-ass ankle. And those things tend to not work out so well in cold weather.
They said them were out for 2 weeks.
You've got to figure out a way to loosen that thing up, and I don't see that thing playing out well for Jalen Waddle.
Pretty sure I saw the weather report for this weekend. Starting Friday, it's aches and pains go up in the area. So, and if you have an injury, it's going to be you might hurt a little bit more.
Terrence, for old people, dude. These guys are in their 20s.
But you still
football players are like old people.
No, they still have to be able to loosen it up.
Do you think I gave a damn what the weather was doing with my body when I was 25?
I think you're worried about it. No, if I was getting hit by football players, though, I think I'd be real worried about it.
You would feel the same way regardless of the weather.
You would not feel the same. You're going to hurt.
You're saying the weather is going to affect these guys?
Just telling you what the weather report is.
You're saying they're going to wake up
with pressure in the air coming down.
They might get a headache.
No, you might get a little bit stiffer in your ankle. Okay. Jason's right.
That might affect the 65.
Jason's right.
The other thing that I would say is that Mike McDaniel, I don't see Mike McDaniel as being a guy who's just going to say, yeah, we better just fold our cards and try to run the ball the whole game. I think he's a guy who trusts Tua. How bad you think Tua is in the cold weather, McDaniel is a guy that trusts him to a fault, and he's going to let him fucking launch that shit.
Well, I could see that.
Let me ask you guys this here, for the Dolphins side of things here. Tua is either going into next year with a big fat contract or a fifth-year option, right? And I think this game's going to be a tall tale for Tua on which one he gets, right? It has to be. There's tons of pressure on his future.
It's going to be a hard game to judge off of, too, though.
I know.
I mean, you're playing as the top three defense. And it's going to be
Did. They were 8-3. Week 12, and then finished the sixth seed.
Tua's future is set in stone because
it shouldn't be. Why would you set in stone?
Of course it is, because he was in the MVP running at some point in the regular season.
Well, yeah, week
so
one.
So if you throw him into a cold weather game at a Arrowhead. Nobody's going to judge him whether he loses or whether he wins.
He should be judged.
He ran the offense. No.
You don't go 8-3 and then finish as a 16.
If you're a candidate, let's just talk about all of the candidates for MVP that we talked about throughout the course of the year. Are any of those guys as a quarterback in danger of like losing their jobs or moving on to a different team, or their team doesn't trust them. No, Tua's going to be there. He's going to be there.
Is he there with the fat extension, or is he there with the fifth-year option?
Well, who else are you going to grab, Tanner? What other quarterback are you going to say, we'll just plug and play. He's going to understand the offense.
Tanner would bring in.
Does he give it another year? Do you go out and trade him?
Tua's not going anywhere.
Tanner is a guy that would either bring in Justin Fields or Sam Darnold to replace Tua. That's where his mindset is. And he would fucking do it. That's why you're not a president of football operations in the fucking league.
If Tua stays with the big fat
contract,
that's
why you're on this fucking show right now. You're not calling the shots.
McDaniels is fired next year if Tua stays next year with a big contract. If he's a fifth-year option, we'll see. But if he gets signed long-term with the Dolphins, McDaniels is fired next year.
He was in the running for MVP
this year. They just got to work on
it. I don't care. Everybody's in the running for MVP, dude.
No, they're not.
Yes. Deshaun Watson was in the running for MVP.
Like, no, he wasn't.
What do you want? Yeah, he was.
Deshaun Watson. When was he in the MVP?
He was plus 1,800 week four.
Week four. Tanner, week four.
We're talking
about
Tua.
Crap about week
four. You think Tua was past week four?
You think anything's relevant in week four?
I think Tua was not relevant in the MVP race past week five. So,
Jesus.
What are we talking about?
He was leading the best offense in football for most of the season.
Yeah, 5 weeks. That's what I'm saying. Past 5 weeks, he was not.
Yes, they were still the number one offense in football. Tua. I'm saying the Dolphins' offense was still number one past 5 weeks.
Oh, I know. I'm aware of what you're saying, but it's not. It's
the
not
bottom line is you want to have continuity.
But
with
do you,
coach,
do you want good 6 weeks or do you want a full
with
season?
Coach?
Do you want
with
a chance
coach,
at the end of the season because you're not getting it with Tua.
Quality coach, quality quarterback. You want to have continuity. The worst thing that you can fucking do, the worst thing
go
that you
Dolphins,
fucking do, is just kick his ass out of there.
Go Dolphins.
To say let's bring in fucking Joe Flacco next year. He's probably a little bit better. No, you're not going to fucking do that. You're going to bring in a guy who was in the running for MVP in Tua, okay? You got to bring him in here, and you got to fucking give him his fucking money.
If this means, is this a continuation? This is like Josh Allen conversation.
He's going to get
no,
his
it's
money.
Not yes, a Josh Allen conversation.
You're just going to be second place, third place, fourth
that
place.
That has nothing
That's
to do.
Is.
That has nothing to do with Josh Allen, dude.
Completely can't make it to the big game. Shit. It's cool.
He might not. He might never make it to the big game.
I don't think he will.
But he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's
going to stay
get,
a Dolphin.
Somebody's going to pay him.
He's going to stay
regardless.
A Dolphin.
I don't know if he stays a Dolphin.
Hey, Jeff Fisher lasted in Tennessee for like 15 years going 8-8.
I
think the Dolphins are happy to
Tomlin?
Just be relevant,
Tomlin?
Considering the majority
season?
Of the last 20 seasons they've had.
17 winning seasons for Tomlin?
What about Tomlin?
500 quarterbacks? You know?
What about Tomlin?
I'm just saying.
What's your point?
He's just his average coach.
What,
he
Mike
gets
Tomlin?
A winning record as Jeff Fisher.
No, Mike Tomlin's not an average coach.
17 winning seasons. How many Super Bowls?
Who are you talking about?
Mike Tomlin.
Why did you just call him an average coach?
He's talking about the guy.
I don't see him making the big game.
Let me tell you exactly.
He's a good regular season
about.
Coach, though.
He's talking about a guy.
They've been battling against Patrick Mahomes literally. And Tom Brady for the past 15, 20 years
okay.
straight.
If Steelers I'm winning, if I'm old winning ben 17 seasons in a row, I'm expecting some kind of title game outside
Tanner,
of my one
the
Super
AFC
Bowl.
Has been
Let
overloaded
you,
with too many other great quarterbacks.
What does that
get
matter?
There if you're
the that means you're not making the right moves. You're not
no,
making the right
offense. You have been Roethlisberger for 16 years.
Just saying.
Tanner, let me tell you who Mike Tomlin is. He's a guy that took a big bag of dicks this year for a roster. A roster with a big bag of
and
dicks.
And he played carousel.
Took him to the playoffs. Playoffs in the AFC.
Finally got the right quarterback
right?
in there.
None of them are the right answer.
Rudolph is the one that should have been
Tomlin,
in the Trubisky.
Mike Tomlin took
no,
a bunch
awful.
Of...
Yes, I know.
Mike Tomlin took a big bag of dicks and underachieving players to the fucking playoffs as an overachieving coach. That's who he is.
Well, he got
Let me
lucky.
Just lay that fucking out for
he,
you
if
right
he,
now.
If he didn't play an NFC team in week 16,
oh, fuck. Just
then they would have never won. They never would have been there.
All right, Tanner. I think we can move on. Actually, I did want to talk about you guys. I saw you posted that thing earlier to us, Tanner, about a local superstore around here. I was just curious if you guys have thought on this thing. Can you imagine being a large corporate company and you sell alcohol in your grocery store?
Now,
you're one of the most
world's
well-known grocery stores in the entire world.
Do they sell wine over there? Or is it just beer?
It's just beer, Tanner.
Okay.
We're in Kansas. And somehow you don't renew your beer license, liquor license, the ability to sell alcohol. before the deadline of December 31st, and now you can't even sell tonic water to people because it could be mixed with alcohol. What kind of dog shit corporation is this, Tanner? Do you guys have any familiarity maybe with how this place is ran? Because I can't imagine owning a business and not renewing my own damn liquor license to be able to sell tonic water to your people coming into the store.
I got no idea.
So I don't understand how it happened just in that one store. That's what confuses me. I do understand.
So it's a per store basis is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it has to be that way.
And that's fine, but I'm not telling you I have any experience. Yeah. But I will tell you from sources that if you do not renew your liquor license, the way that these things are coded at stores such as Target, if you don't have a liquor license, it's not just liquor. It's not just back in the day 3.2 beer that you can't sell. You can't sell fucking grenadine. You can't sell fucking, creme de cacao.
Orange bitters either. Yeah. Can't sell that.
Well, that actually has alcohol in it.
Oh, I guess it does.
All the mixers, sweet and sour, all these fucking mixers that are 0.0%. You're not allowed to sell that shit without your liquor license. And that's just the way that stores such as Target have these things coded. If you ring that up at the cash register, it's going to ask for your ID. And they're not going to sell it to you if they don't have their liquor license.
It's going to put a block on your POS system.
Yeah. And I understand all that shit because, like I said, we have a little bit of experience there, but we also have inside sources that know what the fuck's going on over here. I just don't understand why it would happen at that one fucking store.
Right.
In Olathe or wherever the hell it was, and not all these other motherfucking stores.
Yeah.
The same fucking company.
It's like you're running a mom and pop shop and you forgot to do your job. So,
like a small business. Man. Yeah. I'll give it that, but. Corporate.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. Do you think heads should roll because of something like this?
Well, from inside sources, heads have rolled throughout the years at this particular store for things that I don't have the balls to throw out at you guys. Yeah. But heads have rolled in the past, and I mean, literally in the last decade and a half. I don't think heads should roll.
I mean, if you're looking
particular
at
case
corporate,
because,
though, like you're looking at somebody in the like not even the store level. If you're going to do that,
yeah, all of these stores at this point are run at the headquarters level, at the administrative level. So it has nothing to do with the local employees.
Yeah.
I mean, they like if you don't renew your liquor license, this has to be taken care of at an administrative level. It has nothing to do with the store employees.
Yeah,
but Let the motherfuckers buy
it's
a
still
mixer. If I want to buy some sweet and sour that has 0% alcohol, let me buy my fucking sweet and sour. Let me buy my fucking grenadine and my fucking.
I just wonder what they did with all the stuff that was already on the shelf. Where did that end
up? Well, no, they kept it. I guarantee you, they kept it on the shelf.
Oh, they just left. Well, it's gonna expire.
Because they're not gonna go. They're gonna work on getting their license activated again. They're not gonna stay the whole year.
But if you got like IPAs in there, those go bad pretty quick.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're gonna keep it there. They're not gonna put it in their carts or anything like that.
I know.
Keep the cooler lights off.
I will say this. I know you guys, especially the two of you, you guys are all into conspiracy theories.
Yeah, because that's what I'm all about.
Especially us two.
Yeah, us two especially.
My guess is that somebody, whoever was in charge of renewing that liquor license, was too busy getting drunk themselves while they were on the clock, which, again, having no experience in my entire life, of getting drunk on the clock for that company or any particular company. If you're getting hammered on the clock and you're the guy that's responsible for renewing that fucking liquor license, man, hey, you know what?
That's just bad etiquette.
No, I know. I celebrate that shit. That all of us, you're on my level if you do that shit.
You know what it was, right?
Okay.
You know what it was, right?
I love to get drunk and fail in life because you know what comes out? You guys don't understand this shit. You're not on my level, but you know what comes? You know what failure breeds? Failure breeds success because you learn from your fucking lessons.
Yeah.
And even if this motherfucker that failed to renew that liquor license, if he fails and gets fired, that's going to renew his whole life. He's going to learn from his fucking mistakes. Not only is he going to never make that same mistake again, he's probably going to make a brand new life for himself and just improve his life. I mean, unlike the likes that you've ever seen, dude.
Man, I'm so glad we thought about this.
Failure.
This reminds me of your blackout story last week.
Yes.
So it's kind of the same idea.
Did I black out last week?
No, I'm talking about, well, I don't know.
No.
I'm talking about
maybe.
Your...
I don't know.
Never mind. We'll if you guys want to know, go back a week.
You guys know what this was, right? It was somebody trying to be a leader with somebody else trying to be a leader, somebody trying to be a leader, right? It was delegation. He delegated to her. She delegated.
Sometimes
to
if you're too drunk, you gotta delegate.
So in the end, now you're firing four people because they delegated all to each other because nobody took, you know.
That sounds like some bosses I know right now.
Delegation.
So, on a much broader spectrum, let's say that the person that did not renew the license, let's say, is just a piece of shit, and they fire his ass, and you never hear from him again. The best thing that can happen. In a capitalistic society is the company fucking fails. They get rid of all of the dumb shits that are running the company and they bring in the smart people. That's the best way for a company to fail.
You know why that'll never happen?
The best way for a company
because
to fail.
Because the smart people cost money and we don't want to spend money. So you got to remember this. Smart people cost money.
This is a large corporation.
So they're going to keep the dumbass people because that saves them money.
If the corporation that you're talking about fails bad enough, they will bring
they
in
will
the smart
not
people.
Do
yes,
it.
They will.
No, they won't. They
yes,
have
they
yet
will.
To do it, and they won't do it.
That's how capitalism works, man. You can only fail.
Promise
for
you this.
You can only fail for so long and have a bunch of pieces of shits working for your company.
Very
at
few companies
point,
will hire smart people.
At some point, you have to bring in somebody who is competent, who knows what the fuck
that's,
they're doing.
That's too much money, dude. That's too
well,
much
we'll
money.
See what happens. We'll see what happens. I don't know, what company were you talking about? I forgot what the fuck.
What are you talking about?
What company were we talking about that failed to renew
their liquor license? I can't disclose that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Just a local
can't
little.
Can't disclose that.
Honestly, it's just a nobody out here.
It was
it's
a corporate
local,
nobody
little
around
thing
here.
Around
so.
Here, so.
Nobody
not,
likes
not
it.
A big deal. I don't shop there personally because they don't, you know, they don't have enough goods for me to go shop for. So I just avoid
they're
it.
They're not in my direction. So yeah.
Probably a random gas station that nobody ever goes to anyway.
Exactly.
Some corporate one.
All right, guys, let's move on to today's National Day of the Day because I know everyone likes that topic. We finally have a couple interesting ones, I guess. Somehow Thursday had the most interesting ones, but all of our Wednesdays this year have had pretty lame National Day
of the Day. Well, it's a new year, dude.
It's a new year, so maybe we'll get some better options here. But first one I wanted to talk about with you guys, because there's two of them I'm curious about. Let's talk about it being National Save the Eagles Day. National Save the Eagles. You know, fun fact for you guys, the Eagles are no longer are going extinct. I mean, right? Are they still a protected species?
I think
though?
They're still a protected species.
But they're not anymore on the potential extinct list. So we have been saving the Eagles for a while, it sounds like. But my question to you guys, first off, is how do we save the Eagles at this point?
It's real easy. You get rid of management, you get rid of the front office because there's in the owner. They're kind of your curse, and so that's kind of what's bringing you this bad juju in the Eagles organization because that's just what needs saving. Otherwise, you're gonna have to have Nick Sirianni there all the time, and that's how you save the Eagles. Get rid of your front office and your owners.
I think you know. Speaking of drunk, I think the problem is. Nick Sirianni spent a lot of time with Todd Haley in Kansas City back in 2011.
Doesn't he have a combo of Haley and Adam Gase in a way?
And Todd Haley was well known for getting drunk at practice, as a matter of fact. And his buddy relationship with Nick Sirianni obviously rubbed off on each other, which is why Nick Sirianni has come out as such a big douchebag, kind of like Todd Haley. I think at this point, you got to cut off the head eagle right there, and at that point, the rest of the Eagles can then flourish.
Well, I mean, who has a bigger ego, though, on that team? Is it A.J. Brown? Is it the front office, or is it Nick Sirianni?
I think you have a bunch of Eagles who have lost their hunger because they have lost their way.
Well, because you got ego, ego, ego. That's all it is.
I don't know what all this ego is coming from because you haven't won a damn Super Bowl in a while, so there shouldn't be much of an ego.
That's what I'm saying.
Anywhere. In fact, the last Eagle you had that was worth a crap.
Well,
you
AJ, fired him. We know AJ Brown. he's the best, right? Of course, he's the best and everything else. So you're going to hear from him, and he should get every ball, every target. Nick Sirianni thinks he's the best coach out there, even though he became second place last year. And the front office won't put up with bullshit unless they want to deal with the bullshit. If they don't get a yes man, then they're firing you. So,
yeah. Well, that's our theory. What's your theory on saving the Eagles?
Saving the Eagles. What do you think saving the Eagles?
I think the prevailing narrative here is that you have a guy in Nick Sirianni, and basically the fan base thinks that without your fucking coordinators from last year, you're a dirty piece of shit. Which, as we know, that's a pretty shitty opinion to have. But when you're Philadelphia Eagles fans or any fan in the city of Philadelphia, you think whatever the fuck you want. You say whatever the fuck you want. I mean, I think any other organization in the NFL would be more than willing to give Nick Sirianni 4 more fucking years. Without even blinking an eye.
Oh, Chargers would hire him for 10.
But the fact that it's in Philly, we don't care that Hurts just had a down year. We don't care, you know, that there's some negative.
So, I mean, you just can't move off of a guy. I mean, I personally can't imagine that anybody would run an organization like that. So I wouldn't do it. I would give him one more year. I mean, if you want to fix them, the best way to fix them, have some fucking continuity.
Thanks.
You're going to keep the head coach and the fucking quarterback.
I agree.
We know based on history, that's what gives you fucking success in the NFL. Head coach, quarterback, right now.
I'll agree with this situation, yes.
You can fire both of them or one of them and just be a giant piece of shit for the next 5 years.
It's the wrong team to do that.
And honestly, like, I'm not a Philly fan, so I'm a Chiefs fan. So if they want to go that route, you know, go for it, you motherfuckers. I hope you fucking fail and fire his ass.
All right, very good. I like the speech. He's full of speeches today, isn't he? He's got plenty of them.
He's always full of speeches.
I want him to fail. I want them to lose.
Tampa Bay.
Mike and I were talking about when playing the casino. If you were trying to lose a hand in baccarat or craps or what have you,
it's hard.
It's very difficult to try to lose a hand because it's the same fucking odds.
Yeah.
Well, if I were trying to lose as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I would fire Nick Sirianni. I'm telling you that right now. If I wanted to fucking fail. Fire his ass right
now. Drawing board.
But I'm a Chiefs fan, so please do it. Please fire his ass. That's what I want.
So it sounds like we don't want to save the Eagles. We're going to go ahead and let them.
We're going to let them burn.
Do all that. So
sorry, Eagles.
The other one, guys. So I think we also had another National Day of the Day we thought was kind of interesting. But is it Energy Saving Day? Is that right?
Energy Saving Day.
Energy, which is great because we do that on the show all the time, you guys. We take the lights out for no reason. We cut off the audio for no reason. So we're trying to preserve energy every way we can. Just nickel and dime, you know, over time.
All my equipment is telling me something, you know?
Right. We're trying to preserve energy ourselves. So I think that that's a good thing that we do here on the show. So any other ways you guys preserve energy for this national day?
I got a great idea, actually. Let's rotate between our houses. So I can save energy, then you can save energy, then you can save energy on this podcast.
Ooh, rotate the houses. I feel like that could work. I don't know that it's I don't know if that's going to work really, really, really well.
I mean, actually, it would save myself energy. So
how much energy are you saving though by doing that?
I mean, that's one less night of podcasts and electronics plugged in.
Tanner, you know you would do a podcast anyway.
Not on Wednesday.
Oh, no, you would find a way.
Not when I'm over at your house. It'd be less stuff plugged into the wall in the end.
Well, we haven't ever done one at Jason's house. We used to do at my apartment all the time, but maybe one of these days, Jason, whenever the family's out of town, we'll just come over to your house and do a show over there.
I hope you do come over to my house because I'm going to teach you a few things. And I've been waiting for this topic, guys. You don't know how long I've been waiting for this shit because
oh boy,
I got so far ahead of the curve. I knew that today, January the 10th, 2024, I knew that this day was National Cut Your Energy Day. So I decided to get ahead of the curve. What was it? 6 months ago, Mike, when we started this topic about not washing your shit-stained bath towels.
That is
and
true.
That's what I did. I decided that the way that I could save energy 6 months before the fact, before we had today, I said, I'm going to get ahead of the curve. I'm not going to wash my shit-stained bath towels for, you know, as long as I can. I'm going to save water. I'm going to save electricity for not, running that fucking washing machine. And, you know, I'm a big believer in ESG, which stands for environmental, social governance. And you're seeing that with a lot of companies these days. And I've always been a huge fan of...
Are you saying you enjoy that being forced upon you?
Nobody's forcing that on anybody, dude. I'm just saying, like, we should all take the responsibility. Unless you're a racist, like this guy over here, you should take responsibility for cutting the energy.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel
now,
like
what would
there's,
make him racist in this scenario?
Well, I feel like there's a common denominator here. The people that have a problem with ESG, the people that have problems with saving energy are the same exact people that have a problem with racism in this country. Hmm. And that's just my opinion. I'm just throwing that out there. But that seems to be a common denominator for me. The people that I run into that seem to be racist are also the same exact people that don't want to cut their energy bills, don't want to fucking, you know, cut their fucking water bill, you know. They're the same fucking people that just want to wash their shit-stained towels every fucking day. You know, you don't need to wash your fucking towels every fucking day after you take a shower. Just let it ride. Save some fucking water. Okay? Don't be a racist. Please, for once in your life, Tanner. Just, my gosh.
Is his issue with this some kind of a political issue as far as the way he votes? Or is it just a racist, purely racist thing?
No, I just feel like you motherfuckers used to make fun of me when I would tell you that I wouldn't wash my bath towels. And I was sitting there honestly trying to save energy.
I was just concerned for your daughter using it.
My daughter?
We talked about that part. You thought it was clean, and I was like, well, would you let your daughter use it? And you said, yeah.
But you're saving energy, though. That's the whole point.
Okay.
Like, I don't care what happens after that. Like, I just don't want people wasting energy.
Good for the environment.
And it's just, you know, it has nothing to do with racism. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of a common denominator for me. The same people that don't care about saving energy are the same people that are fucking racist. I've found that just in conversations with people.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I'm fucking sick and tired of it.
All right.
So,
well, Tanner's going to try to do better. Don't worry. He's going to do his best. So one more quick thing, guys. Did you hear the comments from Ja'Marr Chase? His interview, I think it was today or yesterday, one of the two, but
today
they had asked him who he is hoping to see in the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Bengals are sitting themselves on the couch, probably about to go on vacation. Could be going to Cabo, Cancun, somewhere nice. Get the head start on the vacation with the family because you're not getting extra paychecks this week. he was asked, and he said, anybody but the Chiefs. And what's funny about that is three other teams in his own division are all in the playoffs. You got the Steelers, of course, the Browns, and the Ravens, of course, are all in the playoffs. And it seems like he's more concerned about what the Chiefs are doing than seeing, you know, a division rival go out there and then get another ring. So that's an interesting take from Ja'Marr Chase, in my opinion. Do you guys care at all about this? I mean, do you think it adds to the rivalry, or is he just a waste of time bum?
I think he's just being 100% honest. I actually agree with him because you look at all the other teams in his division. I mean, he plays those fuckers all the time. Probably doesn't give a shit about those other teams. Meanwhile, on the Chiefs, you're looking at a team that you've, in some of the games that you've played against the Chiefs, you've dominated them. You've beaten that fucking team. Meanwhile, you're sitting over there. I'm just thinking about this from Ja'Marr Chase's perspective. You got zero fucking rings to show for it. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have two fucking rings. I don't care, you know, if I'm a competitor, I don't care about my fucking division. I care about the teams that are winning championships, which is what I want to aspire to be. Like,
all right, so he's a jealous hater. That's it.
From Ja'Marr Chase's perspective, the Chiefs are what he aspires to be.
Yeah.
So the only way that you can do that is to beat them. So he wants to see the Chiefs lose.
I think he should admit what he is. Instead of sitting there and trying to act like he's just got this beef with the Chiefs for no reason, like there's some kind of thing.
But
he's just a jealous hater.
Again, from his perspective, he wants the Chiefs to lose. If they don't and we win a third Super Bowl, now all of a sudden, if you're Ja'Marr Chase versus Kansas City Chiefs, you're a dirty piece of shit because you never won shit. Yeah, you beat the Chiefs a couple of times. You got zero fucking rings, and now all of a sudden the Chiefs have three. I mean, I understand that perspective. I mean, if I was in his shoes, I would be dying for the fucking Chiefs to lose.
Yeah. You have any thoughts on it?
I think he's pissed off. He has to come back to Arrowhead next year. So
the Burrowhead.
I mean, we play the Bengals every damn year. So.
Yeah, but they're coming here again next year.
Well, I mean, shoot, we play the Bills every damn year too at Arrowhead at least once. It seems like that. So. I mean, Bills and Bengals every year.
I think he's upset, too, that, you know, everything didn't go his way. Now he's trying to get as much money as he can.
Well, he also didn't do much.
And then he got shut out against Snead and wanted to fight Snead.
It's not like he's out there putting up 150 on us and felt like he should have got one over on us. It's like, nah, he really didn't do crap. So
didn't do much.
I don't know. I think the guy is a little arrogant. I think that – I wonder sometimes if he thinks he's funny. Or, like, I don't know, just from what I picked up on, because he also made a comment about T. Higgins' contract. And
he said if there's anything left for him.
Well, if there's anything left after whatever he gets paid, then we'll see about keeping him.
Because he wants his money up front.
Was the essential idea behind it. Hell, if he wants to go that route about it, I mean, I think T. Higgins heard that and was kind of laughing himself about the whole thing. But it kind of, all the talk from Ja'Marr Chase after they've been knocked out of the playoffs has probably made an interesting look about him now from other organizations, kind of looking at the kind of guy this guy is. Seems like a guy that's more focused on his own stats, his own personal,
his personal
accomplishments
gain.
Maybe and personal gain than he is about the team itself and what they can do with him at this point. And if that's the way he wants to be, that's fine. And there's a lot of wide receivers guys that have been really, really good wide receivers and never won a damn thing. And I would not be surprised if he's on that list. And, I don't know. We'll see. I personally cannot guarantee you guys Joe Burrow ever wins a ring. There's a lot of other quarterbacks in this league, guys.
Nope.
A lot of them. I could see him going his whole career playing really good ball, but not winning a ring.
Because he gets injured every third year.
Right. His injury history is also facing a really amazing AFC group of quarterbacks you get to battle through every single year. I mean, they had their chance against the Rams and blew it. So yeah. I don't know that they're going to get back there. So... anyways, that's my thought on that.
By the way, Dave says you have to waste energy to drive to houses. That's fair, Dave. Appreciate that. And he also says Chase talked out his ass on KC secondary this year and crapped the bed. LOL.
Well, the other thing, if you remember before the year two, you know, we were talking about, or someone had asked him about Pat.
Yeah.
And who his number one player is or whatever. And then, of course, Burrow was like, oh, Pat, who? You know, it's like, that's what I mean. Like, does he think he's funny or something? Because Pat's response was literally holding up his ring saying, this is who.
In their mind, they're the greatest team
in the AFC. So
I mean, that's why you're never going to win anything. That's fine if you want
to
have.
There's no actual respect back to anything or anything.
Them and the Eagles can go hang out together because they sound like more of the same. The AFC and NFC, the two little turd teams that just. You know, got this big ego about themselves that never really do much in the first place.
They do have a huge ego, and I think that's their
downfall. Biggest,
that's their downfall because, you know, in a lot of scenarios in life, it's good to be overconfident and just be super confident in what you can do. But at the end of the day, if you didn't accomplish anything, you know, at some point you got to have some self-awareness. And I feel like the Bengals are at a point right now where they don't have self-awareness. They see themselves as a team who has played at a super high level for a substantial period of time, but they didn't win anything, but they feel like they almost act like they did win something.
I know.
You know, and they started right. calling it Burrowhead and what have you. There's no such thing as Burrowhead, dude, because you didn't do shit. So it's time to take a look. If you're the Bengals, take a look in the mirror. And just bring that confidence level down a notch.
I just
because they could still accomplish great things, but you can't be overconfident to the point where you just think that, you know, we're still the best team no matter what happened in the past. We're still the best team. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I found something out, guys. I just hit me. It would go from a good rivalry to a annoying rivalry real quick. Think about Nick Sirianni if he went to the Bengals.
Well, that's not
how annoying would that be?
That's not going to happen. Oh, yeah. They like their fucking coach.
They're cool with Zach Taylor.
I like Zach Taylor. Well, but I'm just saying, Sirianni's attitude.
If Sirianni gets fired,
and Burrow and the rest of that team.
If they fire Sirianni, he's going to fucking New England. That's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I would say so on that one. All right, do we have anything else before we move on to easy money picks?
We did, and it went away.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. We're going to go to the...
If it comes back, I'll let you know.
All right. Easy money, bet of the week. Tanner, do you have an update for us on how we did? This is over the course of the entire regular season. So this is how our numbers ended up.
All right. So let's recap last week real quick, and then we'll go into the overall season. All okay. Right. So last week here, Jason's easy money bet was Michigan -4.5. That hit. And the Nugget Warriors +3 against the Nuggets on Thursday night, and that ended up being a push. Yep. Mike had the Bucks -4.5. That barely hit.
What do you mean it barely hit? They beat it by 4.5.
They won 9-0.
They beat it by 4.5.
They won 9-0.
They didn't allow any points.
Anyways, he got that W.
That's right.
And then I lost both of mine with the Pats choking their asses out and the Seahawks. Reason why Pete Carroll's no longer head coach today. So. Both losses there. So with a total of 19 bets, sorry, that's wrong. A total of 21 bets for Jason Grayson, two pushes, brings his total to 53%.
Ooh, that's not bad. That's not bad. I'll take that.
53 for the year.
You take that to the bank any day, man. That's a long period of time.
Yeah.
With Mike, regular season, he had 20 bets on the dot. That brings his record to 50%. He was 10 for 20.
Yeah, use the profit boost, guys. Then you're in the profit. Boom. Profit there you go. Boost.
And then myself, I had 41 bets this year.
Half of that was college.
Correct. 41 bets brought myself to 45% in the end there. So brings ours total to 48% as a group in sports.
Not great. Not great at all. I feel like last year we did better, but... 48%. I think. Do you think you could still make a profit as a 48% sports bettor?
No,
we'd lose.
Absolutely not.
Okay. No.
The pros. All of the pros in sports betting are doing minimum 51%.
Okay.
Most of them are in the 52 to 53% range or more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sports betting. It's not because of money management. It's because of how much. The house takes out of those bets.
Right.
The sports bets in the sports betting world, the house take is very high. So if you're doing 48%, you have no chance whatsoever. You might as well quit.
Well, we can do better, guys. We're not giving up yet on that's just our totals for the year. We're still doing our bets for the rest of the season at least. And then we might reevaluate for, you know, the other sports.
The good news is that college football is over, so he cannot make any more college football bets.
No more college bets.
So he's probably going to go to the moon.
You know what's funny about that? I told his ass last week. I was like,
Tanner, both my bets were NFL last week.
I told your ass last week you should make a college bet. For the first time all year, I encouraged you to make a college bet.
I wasn't going
to
get it right.
His ass made a college bet. You were going to get it wrong, too, again?
I was going to pick Washington to cover.
Are you shitting me?
To cover.
I made one fucking college
bet.
That's
why I don't pick. I told you I wasn't going to do these games.
I thought you would have gone Michigan.
No.
Guys.
I wasn't doing these games.
My name is JG. I know shit about college football. Oh, man. I made one fucking college bet the whole fucking year, and I hit it. I'm 100% at fucking college football bets. Well, meanwhile, this guy.
Two.
I don't even know what the fuck.
You remember the LSU game on draft night? Two.
Yeah.
Right. And he did get that. That was like a halftime bet or something like that.
Yeah, the halftime bet? Did I lose?
No, you won. Won.
Oh,
you won.
Shit. Yeah.
They came back and destroyed him.
Yeah, you were stuffing your face with pizza and stuff.
So, dancing around.
But again, 100%. 100% at college football for a motherfucker that doesn't know shit about college football.
All right. Let's do our picks for this wild card weekend, you guys. So this was one I was going to encourage you guys to dig a little deeper. There's fewer games, so that means we've got to be more selective with exactly what kind of bet we're wanting to do. I have two this week, but I'm going to let – who wants to go first?
Jason goes first.
JG goes first.
Of course. So we got to start out with those Chiefs because I feel very confident in this game. Guys, this is not a fucking make-believe bullshitter here, okay? It's not a fucking fairy tale. Miami is a horrible fucking cold weather team. I mean, they're shitty. The same advantage that you think they have, which is true, they have a giant advantage when they play at home in the warm weather. The exact same thing is true in the cold weather. So, Kansas City is -4.5. Jalen Waddle has a shitty ankle. The entire offense, all of those receivers, all of those fucking running backs, none of them are 100%, guys. And if none of those skill players are 100% and you're playing in the cold weather, you're going to have some problems. So I'm going to take Kansas City -4.5 here. And this game is not necessarily going to be as competitive as you think it is. So that's my first bet. I've got Kansas City -4.5.
We're going to go to four.
You're going to go to four.
So -4 on points bet for -110.
Which is strange to me. I would have thought that it would have gone in the other direction.
Yeah, points bet and FanDuel just went to -4.
Okay, so give me the -4. I'll take that to the bank all day long. So second pick, I'm going to go Pittsburgh Steelers are +10 at Buffalo. Mike Tomlin, we just talked about him a little bit earlier. That team has too much playoff experience. The narrative that you guys are going to listen to this whole fucking week is that TJ Watt's not playing. The fucking game's over. Fucking Steelers are going to get obliterated. And they might not win the game, but it's not going to be a surprise to JG if the Steelers fucking win this game. Buffalo has just been too inconsistent for me this year. Talked about the fact that Josh Allen, a lot of people think that Josh Allen should have been in the MVP running this year. Well, he played like shit in the first half, you know, kind of came around in the second half. I don't trust that guy. And I told you guys early in the show, I don't trust Buffalo. I don't trust Baltimore. I wouldn't be confident if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan right now. But my second easy money bet is definitely Pittsburgh +10.
+10 across the board at -110.
Also, like to point out, Carl Sheffers is a referee for that game.
It is.
And he's favored the away team this season. So against the spread, Carl Sheffers' away team is 3-0.
But he doesn't fix games. We don't believe in that around here.
I'm just letting you guys know the stats. That's all.
That guy who doesn't fix games, he's an honest man.
All right, I got two bets for you guys. Do not do this as a parlay. Yes, I'm going with the Chiefs game. I've only done that one other time this entire year, so I like this one though. I like both of these here as single straight up bets. The over-under right now, if you can grab it at 44.5, grab the 44.5. So there's some sites that are going to be 44, some 44.5. Just find the 44.5.
44.5 minus 115 on the ESPN Bet and FanDuel.
Take the under on that one all the way. I love the idea of grabbing it now before we get closer to game time where we really officially see the actual game temperature. The Dolphins, the throwing game is not going to be easy by any means. I mean, there's going to be issues there, especially if there's going to be wind involved. But just being a cold weather game to begin with, kicking's not going to be easy. It's going to be the works, man. And the ground game, which I expect to have a lot of Pacheco, plus a lot of Mostert and then Achane as well, I think it's going to be the clock rolling. I can see this being mm-hmm. a fairly quick three-hour game, not the three-hour and 25-minute game as we see every once in a while. It's going to be pretty quick. I think that clock's going to be moving. So the other one I like that everyone should be on, in my opinion, Travis Kelce's line is set at 57.5 right now. If you could find it for better, grab the better. But take the over on that. Without a doubt, guys, it's the playoffs. Travis Kelce, in his career in the playoffs, 18 games played, he averages 86 yards receiving in those playoff games. So, guys, you're 86 yards receiving as an average for a tight end in a playoff career is amazing. And I don't care that he's had a bit of a down year. That he took a week off last week, you guys. I think he's ready to roll. And this offense knows when it is time to throw the ball, he's going to be the reliable one. He's going to be the one Pat trusts. He's going to be the guy I see going out there and getting 7-8 catches, which in turn will turn into another 80-yard or more game. So Kelce with the over, Chiefs with the or over-under with the under on that game. So
Kelce over 56.5, minus 115 on DraftKings and BetMGM.
Got to get it. Love both those bets.
All right, let's do it here. We'll pop into Sunday's matchup. Los Angeles Rams at Detroit Lions here. We're not looking at the full game. We're looking at the first half. Give me the Rams plus 2.5 in the first half at minus 105 on FanDuel here. The Lions are in primetime ball. It's competitive football for them, and we've seen them struggle against against good teams. Rams are good teams. They're going to be healthy. Stafford sat out. Stafford's now in the Detroit Lions Dome, looking to get some little payback from the trade and everything like that, even though it's not really payback, but it'll work out. So give me the first half plus 2.5 for the Los Angeles Rams at minus 105 on FanDuel. And we'll pop over to Monday here. Same thing, first half bet here. Let's go Eagles minus 1.5 at plus 100 on FanDuel in the first half. Eagles, they're not consistent enough to finish the game, but they're consistent enough to at least get up by a field goal to 7 points against this Buccaneers team. Not saying they're going to finish with a win or cover that, but I think they can get up by 3 points going into halftime and at least have some kind of small momentum going in that range. So minus 1.5, plus 100 on FanDuel. That's my two bets. Go.
That's 6 total bets for you guys out there. So if we can nail, if we go 5 of 6 or 6 of 6, that would put our team ranking for the year, team percentage for the year, over 50%, I think, or at 50 at least. So
do you want to see?
Let's hopefully get it. Let's hopefully get that. Because I feel pretty good about our picks.
We got a chance.
I feel pretty good about the picks this week, for sure.
We got a chance to go 100%.
And no college bets. That's the main thing. So
right.
That'll put us at 52.
Well, let's do 6 for 6. If we get 6 for 6, we're at 52 for the year, which would be amazing.
If you want me to, I could make a college bet right now.
Nah, we're not doing any college.
Jim Harbaugh is going to be signed by an NFL team, and I'll take the NFL team.
I'm just glad.
They're going to be signed. He's going to
go to. You can bet on that right now.
Jim Harbaugh is going to Alabama now after that.
Oh, I did have a real quick question just because Tanner brought up the Rams game. Do you guys have a preference in this game of the thrown-away quarterbacks game, basically, where you have Stafford going back up against the Lions and you have Jared Goff going back up against the Rams, both of their former teams?
I wouldn't bet on that fucking game. I think that the Rams, obviously, are the better team. They should win that game.
Who do you want to win?
I guess I would say the Rams because they've been kind of underestimated this year. But I think that when you're talking about in terms of the revenge factor – there's no revenge factor on the side of Matthew Stafford. He's None. Fucking got a ring. He doesn't give a shit.
You think Goff has something to prove?
Goff is the guy that has every – he's got everything to prove. He doesn't have anything to show for it.
Yeah.
I mean, we always – yeah, we talk about LeBron James. Oh, my gosh, he made it to the finals how many times? Well, nobody gives a shit. Right. Kind of like Jared Goff. Well, he made it to the Super Bowl one time. Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
So that if you're talking about revenge factor – It's Jared Goff all the way, but I don't put too much stock into that. I still think the Rams are the better team here, and I would be a little bit surprised if the Lions pulled this off.
I wouldn't be surprised by anything because they're expected to be a good team, and they are a good team.
But your team but that has
Rams
championship
also choked themselves away at times.
When you're a head coach and a quarterback that have championship pedigree. You just have higher expectations. It doesn't matter what the roster is that you're working with. So
no,
but I certainly would not be surprised if the Rams win this game.
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all either. That's why I have the first half coverage there for either quarterback. I mean, it's more on Jared Goff this week. Let's be real; like it's no pressure on Stafford going back. It's all pressure on Goff. Can you knock your former team out? Can you excel? This Lions team who won their first title in that division, and can you get them to the next level? Can you get them to the next round? That's all it is. It's all on Goff.
I kind of like the storyline, though. I think it's kind of fun.
No, it is. It's a fun week for just storylines all the way around. McCarthy going to Green Bay, Hill coming into KC despite the Germany game, ends up being still back in KC.
That is pretty cool.
Stafford, Goff, combo.
Yep.
It's a fun week.
The NFL got exactly what they wanted. Now the question is, can they rig what they wanted to rig? That's not always as easy as
that time
of
year. It's a rigging time of year. So
no, it's fun. Our comment did come back here, Mike.
Oh,
Ayo Saba, what's up? Maybe late to the party, but do you guys think the Dolphins tried to have Ramsey shut down Kelsey?
Oh, they've tried that before, and it didn't work out too well, actually. So. We've seen some old Ramsey and Kelsey in the past, and
Jaguars did.
What's funny about Ramsey is that he's like that prototype type of corner as far as the physical tools. You know, if you were a scout, you would see him and be like, oh, he's got long arms. He's 6'2". You know, he looks like he would just be, you know, the prototype cornerback. But really, when it comes down to play on the field, he's not that guy. So. Jalen Ramsey is – I would love to see Ramsey against Kelsey because Kelsey would eat him alive because when it comes to the game itself of football, the football IQ is on the Kelsey side of things, not so much on Ramsey. So I hope that is the case because they've tried it before and it didn't work out. I think they even tried it earlier this year if I remember right. But we've seen it in the past. And if they do, that's fine because it's worked out okay in the past for Kelsey. So
mm-hmm.
– I think it's a very interesting matchup because there are a lot of people on both sides that think both of those fucking players are washed. So and I don't believe either one of them are. I think they're not. Both of those guys are not what they once were, but they're neither one of them are washed. I think that it would be an interesting matchup because I feel like regardless of age, they're kind of at the same stage of their careers where they're kind of on the downside. But they're also not washed, so it'd be a decent matchup.
For me, Ramsey peaked in Jacksonville, and after he went to the Rams, or not the Rams, but after he moved along throughout his career here, and now is a Dolphin. He was good with the Rams, but I don't know. I feel like he peaked in Jacksonville, hit that moment, and as most corners do, they peak pretty early, and then it's kind of the back end is rough. But to me, he's just not been that guy, and he's not that kind of reliable corner that shuts down anybody. Not like he did when he was in Jacksonville.
And I agree with you. Like, Kelsey should have the edge in that game. But the question is, did he bang Tay-Tay one too many times during the week to where that's all of a sudden a more even matchup?
Yeah, I hope not.
Oh, yeah, that's true, Dave. McVay did throw Goff out as garbage, so that's fair. Good take. Good take.
Yep.
Forgot that rivalry, too.
All right. Did we have anything else?
Did we? Oh, no. We got to talk about it, right?
Got to talk about it.
You got to talk about it.
You guys go for it.
All right, guys. We're going to get into the NBA MVP because it's that time of year. We're approaching the All-Star break. It's going to come sooner than you guys think. And so
getting close.
You basically have four contenders so far this year for the NBA MVP. And it's basically Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, SGA, and Luka Doncic. So I wanted to get you guys' initial thoughts on that. I personally would say that the best odds for me, if I'm going to bet on guys to win the MVP right now, I would take SGA at plus 350 and Luka Doncic at plus 460. Now, you've got Jokic and Embiid sitting out there at plus 200, plus 300, but Joel Embiid is injured, and Nikola Jokic, we know he didn't fucking play defense. So to me,
we say that every year, but he's still the best player on the freaking court.
That's true, but I you know, the numbers for me for Luka Doncic, now that he's got Kyrie Irving back in the fold, because Kyrie Irving was out forever.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you know, people say, well, the Mavericks were only the number seven seed. They're in the play-in tournament. Yeah, that's true, but Luka Doncic has been doing that shit this whole time without Kyrie Irving. Now they're going to start to move up into the standings. And to me, those two guys, SGA and Luka, should be the front runners because SGA has been very consistent throughout this year, averaging 31, 6 and 6. But he also plays defense. He's averaging 2.5 steals per game, which is fucking ridiculous.
No, it is. When you're
talking about him versus a guy in Nikola Jokic who's averaging 26, 12, and 9, but doesn't play shit for defense, I understand he's the reigning champion. But for my money, if I'm going to place a bet right now, not going to bet on Embiid. He fucked up his knee the other day. He's played great this year. They're the number three seed right now in the East. But if he were in the West, the Philadelphia 76ers would only be the number four seed right now. Mm-hmm. So I actually think that Embiid is the worst bet this year for MVP. Jokic is probably the third best. And for me, if I put my money down, it's all about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Thunder because they're the number two seed right now in the West. And Luka Doncic right now, they're going to be moving up the standings. As I said, they're only like
four. Well, we said that last year when Kyrie showed up, and look what happened.
I know, but Kyrie has looked really, really good in these first few games back from injury. And again, they're only like five games out of first place. So to me, that's where I would put my money. I'm not going to put my money on Embiid, who's injury prone and injured right now. Not going to put my money on Nikola Jokic because
nobody cares.
I mean, nobody gives a shit. I mean, it's not because he's a white player, guys. Okay. Jesus, fuck. I'm not trying to hate on the white players, but, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
the international ones, huh?
55% field goal percentage, and he plays fucking defense like a monster. Meanwhile, you have Jokic over there who shoots very well from the field. But he didn't play shit for defense, and he has a worse record than the Oklahoma City Thunder, his team. So I'm putting my money on SGA. I'm a little bit biased because he's, you know, one of my favorite players in the league. But Oklahoma City Thunder are coming, They're going to be here for a long time.
And they're
the up-and-comers. They got a bunch of fucking monsters on that team.
And they don't even we talked about this on Friday night last week on the Let's Talk Sports, but OKC hasn't even shown the full arsenal yet. The talent they got on that bench.
You don't need anything.
I know, but the talent they got on that bench is unreal.
You have the youngest.
They're not even showing it.
You have the youngest team in the NBA with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren. Like, the pieces around you at that point don't matter. They don't fucking matter.
It matters.
No, it doesn't fucking matter. If you just play defense and those two guys go off every fucking night, you are a contender.
Go talk to Devin Booker and Durant how it doesn't matter.
They have zero. Seriously?
Yeah, tell them how it doesn't matter.
You're going to bring up old man Durant in this discussion?
I'm bringing up a trio that's going to be out in the first round.
I just told you that the Thunder are the youngest roster in the league, and you're going to bring up old man Durant.
I'm just telling you what you're telling me.
It's the same damn scenario.
You need to have this discussion with him, not me.
Just different ages.
I'm going to kick you to the curb, man. That's bullshit.
I don't know what the discussion is on that because I'm not a fan of the Suns at the moment.
He's trying to tell me that the Suns are a fucking contender over OKC this year.
You need depth in this league to get far.
But there is no depth. The Suns don't have proper chemistry. The Suns have zero depth.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you need more than just Chet and Shea.
Somehow the Suns regressed this year, which makes no sense.
It makes complete sense.
You need an average age of a roster that is the youngest in
the league. No, this is perfect. This OKC team has so much depth. It's insane. So much depth. And they got trade pieces, too. So we're looking at the MVP here for this as well. Shea actually is a plus 330 on FanDuel, and Luka's plus 500 now on Caesars. Joel Embiid sitting up plus 450 there for the final guy. Joker is 200 across or 200.
So who's your bet? Who's your bet, Tanner?
I mean, if I'm putting money down,
pick one fucking guy.
If I'm putting money down, I'm putting money on Luka.
I love it.
If I'm just picking an MVP, it's going to be Joker. Like, it's just in the end, who's going to outdo Joker? And does Joker, if Joker gets injured, obviously, these two move in the front row, but I think that's as long as Joker's on the floor, that's your only hope of winning an MVP.
I just don't see it at all because I understand he's the defending champ, but when Joel Embiid, if he takes a couple of games off and comes back healthy, this guy is averaging almost 10 more points per game than you. So, like, if Joel Embiid is averaging 35 a game and Jokic is averaging 26, like, those two numbers are not even close. We shouldn't even be talking about
time on the court, and we all know Joel Embiid, and his time on the court hurts more than not. We know it, and that's why the 76ers are showing it.
That's fine. If you want to debate those two guys, I'm just saying Embiid.
I think in the end, there has to be something that takes Joker off the court, and That's what it takes to get Shea and Luka in.
Your problem with your argument here is that Joel Embiid destroys Jokic in points per game
and in defense, two
blocks per game, and less shots. Their steals are kind of a wash, but
less everything.
Joel Embiid is a much better defender than Jokic.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think he is
SGA,
too.
SGA, a much better defender than both of those
motherfuckers. If you're talking just defensive MVP, then yeah, I'd go Shea. But we're not. We're talking about season MVP, who's the most season MVP to their team. And it's it's Joker, the way he does stuff, the way he wins games, the way he runs the team.
He's impacting the game, but he doesn't have as much points. He's not scoring as much as those other two guys.
Because Murray's healthy.
They're not going to let him win that fucking award.
Joker gets it.
It's not going to happen.
As long as he's on the court,
Plus 200 is Joker, shitty odds.
I know. I hate the bet. I won't put the bet, but I'll put a bet down on Luka and Shea, actually.
Just bet on Luka and get it over with. Mike, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, you guys know I'm not going to bullshit you. During the NFL season.
Devin Booker's plus 6,600.
No. During the NFL season, I watch very minimal NBA, and so it would be wrong of me to give an opinion on this based on the fact I don't watch NBA until the NFL season's over. So you guys can check back in March or February maybe, and then I'll give you an answer. But I don't know. I would assume it's going to be some of the same names as last year's, but how many years in a row can the Joker go for? That's what I want to know about.
Well, we're going to find out, I guess, at the end of this year. See what happens there.
Yeah. Oh, we got Scott. Scott joined in for a minute here.
Scott. Hey, what's going on?
What up, Scott?
He said Embiid is closing in on not being able to win the MVP with the new league rules. That's very true. And Tatum tonight showed what it could be. Tatum ain't MVP, dude.
Hey, Tatum can put up some special numbers once in a while, though.
Yeah, every once in a while.
I mean, he's got the talent.
He ain't consistent enough.
He's got the talent. We had the debate, guys, 4 years ago, actually.
We did.
We had a debate of who was going to have a better career. Was it going to be Jason Tatum or Devin Booker? And even me being a Devin Booker fan, I said Tatum. You said Booker. And then you – I can't remember who you picked.
I don't remember, dude. I think I said Booker.
You think you said Booker?
Pretty sure
I said Tatum just because I felt like he had more upside than Booker. But honestly, at this point in their careers, who do you think has been better?
Probably Tatum.
He's still pretty close.
I think they're
4 years later.
It's pretty even.
I would say that they're even.
They're pretty even.
I can't tell the fucking difference. Like, I'll tell you right now, though, regardless of who wins the MVP this year, we need to start having the discussion of who's the best player in the world. We'll do that at a later date, Tanner.
Do you know what the issue is with the NBA, too, and their awards? Like, Mike, if a rookie in the NFL has a season-ending injury, right, preseason, right, or even before that, it's an IR, right, for the year?
Yeah.
It still counts as their rookie year, right?
Yes, it's still the rookie year.
Okay, so Chet Holmgreen had that last year in the rookie, and he's now leading the Rookie of the Year award in year two.
So you're telling me that they're allowing him
Hold on, stop.
Travis Kelce didn't play a single snap of his rookie year.
In the preseason.
Travis Kelce was injured his entire rookie season.
No, in the summer league.
You can't tell me Travis Kelce's rookie year would technically be the year he came back from his injury and over 800 yards.
NBA, that would be your case.
So that's not how this works. That's not how that works.
It's not how it works at all.
Your rookie year is literally your first year in the league. In the league. You can't be selective either. You can't go, well, this guy, oh, we like him, so let's just make him a rookie.
Who was there was one guy that got injured and he came back and dominated and he ended up winning Rookie of the Year in his second year.
Has that happened?
Yes.
In the NBA?
Yes.
That's horrible. Yeah. That's not the way things should work, man.
Yeah, they are, yes. Yeah, it's awful. It's awful.
But we can't do that.
My point is, when we start in the hoop, we're going to start talking about all this shit in terms of who's the best player in the world, because people are scared to talk about that right now, because we all know it's not LeBron James. We know it's not him. And
who
I told you guys last couple of weeks.
Who is it?
SGA is the best player in the world right now.
He's the best player in the
world.
SGA
Look at his fucking
stats. He's
the best
player in the NBA.
He's the best player in fantasy.
He's the best player in the NBA. Not the best player in the world.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So why don't you tell me, Tanner, who's playing overseas right now?
We got to talk.
Stephon Marbury.
Who's taking the Saban job?
Is Stephon Marbury still playing in China? Is he the best player in the world? You're not talking about NBA players all of a sudden?
No, we're not.
Are you trying to change the topic all of a sudden?
Of course he is.
I'm trying to say, I don't want to get into this.
Of course you do.
I'm trying to figure out.
I did find the odds on that, actually, not too long ago.
Is it out there?
Oh, there's odds out there right now of Nick Saban replacement. I don't know why Tanner's changing the topic all of a sudden. After this, I got to get another fake beer, and then I don't know what he's
loading.
Doing.
It's not loading.
No, I found the odds earlier. I don't know where they went, but I was curious.
Scott says he would still pick Wemby. Yeah, I would too. Because of that dumb rule they got.
Dan Lanning, Dabo Sweeney.
I mean, how big of an impact would that be if Dabo left Clemson to go to Bama?
Lane Kiffin, I don't know about that crap.
That sounds it's not far-fetched.
I don't know about Lane Kiffin.
It's kind of not far-fetched. I was thinking Lincoln Riley or Sarkinson leaving their USC or Texas.
A lot of Dan Lanning out there.
Dan Lanning.
So, I don't know, man. Honestly, right now, I don't know. Who's, I mean, it's going to be a...
Let me ask you this, Mike. What's the most intriguing job for you in the NFL right now that's open?
Ooh, the most intriguing. I feel like as long as their ownership could stay out of what I'm doing, I'd probably go to the Chargers and try to fix them. As long as they let me have a lot of control.
But say, what about Seattle?
Seattle's okay. I mean, they got some... They got a lot of rebuilding at the moment, actually, to take care of and things to figure out. They got some good pieces. Don't get me wrong. I think I would personally enjoy trying to fix the Chargers because I always feel like they've had talent over the years. Got to get training staff upgraded somehow keep those injuries from happening because that always seems to be their issue. But I still feel like I could come in and help Herbert become a better quarterback. And if I'm a head coach that has a lot of faith in himself, I'd probably take the stab at that.
Jason Scott wants to know, where do you think Belichick will go?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Is he going to stay retired or where's he going?
Oh shit! I was getting ready to give you guys the fucking easy money answers on all that bullshit, but I never even thought about Belichick because I have. You could take this shit to the bank. You can take Mike Vrabel to the Patriots.
Okay.
Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers.
Okay.
Pete Carroll to the Raiders.
Even though
okay.
he's
nobody's going to talk about that.
So they just
announced.
Shit. So Pete Carroll announced, or they Seahawks announced that he was staying on the staff.
Oh, okay.
As an advisor or something like that. But he's,
okay.
Pete Carroll's getting too old coach. to be jumping around to a new organization.
All right. So definitely Belichick is not going to go to the Raiders. So that's a tough one, man.
Scott says
come
Atlanta
back to me on
is a favorite
for who?
For Belichick.
No, I don't see that shit happening.
Belichick doesn't have time for that shit. I'm serious. Like, Atlanta's going to take a lot of time.
What if they what if they just fucking flip-flop and Belichick goes to the Titans and Vrabel
goes there?
That, honestly, like, that wouldn't be that bad.
That would be an awful one.
What if somehow Robert Saleh got fired at that? And then, you know,
he's not, no, they're committed. He's Aaron Rodgers is committed
no,
to that asshole.
Saleh's staying.
Okay.
They already
I was wondering. I feel like he kind of fooled around with Zach Wilson too long. But
your only other potentials there are out there is the – I know Wink resigned for the defensive coordinator for the Giants to pursue a head coaching job. Pierce is out there. And then possibly Sirianni, for God's sake, is the name out there floating around.
Oh, he's not going anywhere.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard.
Ooh, I just came up with one.
What do you got?
Ooh, I got a good one. Fucking Bills Mafia. They hate that fucking coach.
Sean?
Bill Belichick's going to the Bills.
Jeez.
I don't think that's
going to be the case. That would not go well.
So wait. You don't believe it's going to happen, or you don't think there's going to be a vacancy?
I don't think they're going to fire Sean McDermott.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to fire
really?
McDermott. Yeah.
They hate that dumbass.
Even if
dude.
He loses this round, I don't think they fire
you,
him.
You can ask Starsky, man. Bill's Mafia hates that fucking asshole.
I get it, but I think that that they've gone too far to this point, and they've made up for a rough beginning of the season to now win 6 games in a row.
So if they lose against the Steelers, you can't see them bringing in Bill Belichick?
If you lose to the Steelers,
yes.
Maybe.
Yes, they're going to do
It'd be a watching situation. Scott out here says, if not Vrabel, he would want Ben Johnson to be his New England head coach. OC for Detroit?
We're going to.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's going to be Gerard Mayo or fucking Mike Vrabel.
God,
it's going to be one of those two motherfuckers.
They don't want Mayo. Players
we'll know more
don't
about
Mayo.
This whole situation here.
It's a fun conversation because there is so many interesting, you know.
I do for sure think that Harbaugh goes to the Chargers, though. I think it just makes sense.
Do you think Harbaugh just hops over to Bama? No chance of that?
He'd stay at Michigan before going to Bama. There'd be no point. I mean, he could just stay at Michigan and win another title if he wants, but
he will not coach another college team other than his alma mater for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's done with college football. He's going to the NFL, and he's going to try to fix the Chargers, I think.
Or he can stay at Michigan. That's the only other option.
Does Antonio Pierce keep a job? Does
he
get
should.
A coaching job?
He should.
I think he should. I mean, I thought the Raiders played great with him out there. I mean, he beat the damn Chiefs.
Yeah.
I thought Antonio Pierce coached well enough and got those guys motivated enough to stick around, especially your first stint as a head coach in the league. I mean, that's pretty badass.
Taking the turn, like the way he kind of turned it around for them.
The players fucking love him, and I
it's not a great team either.
No,
this is the owner Mark Davis's chance to stop getting a bad rap from the media, saying like you always fire the good coaches and try to make a big splash. And I think the fact that the players love their current coach, I think Mark Davis has a really good opportunity here to make a name for himself and change that narrative to where, yeah, I want to keep a coach in here that the players actually like.
It's also so different from, you guys remember Romeo Crennel came in as an interim head coach when Todd Haley got fired in that year, and the players begged for him to stick around. Romeo Crennel was always out of his league as a head coach. He was never meant to be a head coach. And they begged him to stick around because he was easy and soft, and he was a player's coach. But Antonio Pierce, you know, he's got these guys motivated and actually like wanting to go out there and fight for him.
They want to fucking go to war for this guy.
It's different, and especially if you see the difference of where they came from with McDaniels and how shitty they were, to then as soon as he was fired and Pierce came in there, right away you start winning games.
It was like the tight ship, you know, everything was locked. You couldn't do nothing, and then Pierce is like, let's go play ball. You know,
yeah, and like I said, it's not a great team they had either.
No, it wasn't. So, Jacobs was hurt for 6 weeks of it, I think, or
for
5 weeks.
For them to win the games they did down the stretch of the season with Pierce is pretty
compete?
Awesome. So
phenomenal.
They should hold on to him.
I think that the problem is that Mark Davis has shiny new toy syndrome. We've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck about what the coach is doing right now. He wants a shiny new toy. He wants to make a big splash. If he, dude, he's going after everybody. He'll go after fucking Belichick, Vrabel, Jim Harbaugh. He's going to go after all those motherfuckers before he even entertains the thought of keeping Antonio Pearson there, which is pretty sad, actually. Yeah. Pretty sad strategy if you're going to go about your work that way.
Oh, real quick, I did want to mention, I don't think we brought it up, but Drake McKinnon, I think, is done for the season.
Yes.
So he did have surgery. I just don't think we mentioned it. So
no, we didn't mention it. I forgot to.
The two backs we're working with for the rest of the year really are going to be Clyde and Pacheco.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, McKinnon was basically your WR2. If you're talking about guys who you trust, well, that was your WR2.
Well, you got to remember this. We were saving McKinnon the whole season for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now we don't get to use him.
That's pretty sad. I mean,
hey, right. You know, we got 2 years out of it, though.
We did. Two really, really good years out of McKinnon for the playoffs. So it happened.
I can't be too mad about it.
That part was good. Scott, it's been a long show, man. What else we got?
He says, wasn't Sarkisian on the staff in Bama at some point? Yep, that's why I said
Steve,
him.
Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, Sarkisian, sorry.
I see what he's talking about.
Let's see here. He says, Pierce may go to the Titans, and Belichick in Vegas would be intriguing. Could you imagine an AFC West containing Belichick, Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and Sean Payton?
Yeah, we're talking about age.
That'd be insane.
We're talking about Marv Levy. A little bit earlier when he fucking retired from the Bills.
He was 72.
If my point would be, if Belichick was not so fucking old, with his ties to Nick Saban, he would be the next in line for fucking Alabama.
Yeah,
but he's Belichick just too fucking old for that shit.
He don't want to go out recruiting.
He's fucking 71 years old. Then you got Pete Carroll sitting out there.
Belichick
at 72
needs
or 73.
A 2 to 3 year game plan. Like, who can you coach for 2 to 3 years? Just get him on a quick fix and see what happens. And then after that, he's going to have to call it quits.
It would be. So. It'd be interesting. It's going to be interesting next few weeks.
All right, guys. This has been an hour and 40 minutes. Holy hell.
That's short for us, man. Last week
was 1 hour.
We let you guys down today. I'm fucking pissed.
We had a lot of topics, so that is for damn sure. So, but, hey, it is what it is. A lot of things to talk about this week. And we're looking forward to watching the game, of course. We're going to be hanging out here pretty close to home, going to a little place down the road to watch the Chiefs game. It's a good luck place for me in a lot of ways. I've seen a lot of Chiefs victories at this specific place we're going to. So I feel pretty good about it, and you guys are going to have a good time too. Yep. I got us reservations already.
Did you?
So, yeah.
Oh, nice.
They said we'll probably get a high top. So
that's fine. What time do we got to be there?
I'll be there at like 6:30.
That's awesome.
6:15 maybe.
Okay.
So I'll be there kind of early just because I like to get there early. But anyways, guys, it is still Wednesday, damn it. So we have 2 more days of the work week before we get to party hard. And, that's all I got for you. So with that said, I'll see you on the next one.
Outro! See you guys.